Yeah, hello everyone. Welcome back to the VYB cast. My name is Nyeon. I'll be hosting the podcast again today. To recap the last podcast, we discussed how the VYB operate as an online community during the pandemic, our changing habits in work-study environment, networking opportunities, the relationship with our significant others, and the Vietnamese community in general. For those who don't know, Montreal is in the opening stage right now. We no longer have to record our podcast over Discord anymore. Instead, we gathered here today. Let's start with introducing our speakers. We have
Justine. I am currently a student, and I'm in the actuary mathematics program at Concordia University. I was born here by two Vietnamese parents. I don't speak that much Vietnamese. I used to, but like I just kind of lost it over the years. And yeah, I really wanted to be part of like the like VYB cast because like I listened to like the previous ones and I really wanted to be in it. I'm here to learn mostly because I don't know much about like Vietnamese business culture. So like I have here two people who will teach me more about these stuff.
Oh, definitely. We'll gladly do so. So my name is An, and I'm originally from Vietnam. I moved here about 5.5 years ago for university. Born and raised in Vietnam, so I do know quite a few things about Vietnamese culture there. And I lived here for 5 years, so I also knew a little bit about the culture here. So I'll be more than happy to share it with everyone.
Okay, so let's first briefly discuss the situation about the pandemic in Vietnam right now.
So from my understanding, Vietnam is currently having a pretty big surge in cases of COVID, unfortunately. The government has been doing a lot of effort in containing it. My heart goes out to everyone living there. Hopefully they're staying safe. I also know that they were doing really great at the beginning, but for some reason there was a huge surge.
Are there like, is there like, you know, like new, those new
variants?
Variants, yeah.
I believe so. I believe that is what the cause of this this new surge in cases. Mm-hmm. And there were not like a lot of people get vaccinated already. Unlike Montreal, I guess, because we are vaccinated quite a lot. So
yeah,
unfortunately.
Yeah, the situation in Montreal, from what I know, is more than half of the people are vaccinated. About 80%, 84% of people have at least one dose, and the other like 64% have like both doses. So I feel like the situation is getting under control. However, from data from like yesterday, which is as of July 30, 2021, there's like Montreal is like rising to a yellow level because there's like new cases coming, but.
Yeah,
hopefully it's
unfortunately.
Let's hope for the best,
I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, hopefully like the opening stay can prolong. And as we opening, like going out and just by our breathing. So today podcast, we discuss Ang Vạc and the Vietnamese business culture in Montreal. So can you tell a bit how the word Ang Vạc means to you?
For me personally, I didn't even know what it meant before like yesterday. I had to ask my parents. They gave like different definitions, but like from what I understand, it's like food that you eat like for fun, often outside, something like that.
Well, for me, this word has, I grew up with it because the first one, this word means snacking in my definition, but it's not like the kind of snack we have, like we usually like eat outdoors, like the kind of snack where you just walk down the street and saw a stall and just hop in and just buy something quickly and grab your friends. So that word has a lot of meaning to me because my friend and I had a lot of fun like going out and, you know, just hanging around those food stalls on the street and
is it also
eating.
Like, does it mean junk food too? Or
is that a bit of junk food?
Okay.
They're not usually healthy.
Okay. Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But they really good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like good.
Yeah. Because I remember in my high school, you know, after school, we just go for that. We because they have little store around the school like that. And we go around, they have varieties of food. Like, it's just a little bit of food, like dessert on that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember my my mom used to get really mad at me because I just eat them before dinner. So I just like ate all of those food without, and then I just like, I'm too full for dinner, mom. And she would just got really mad.
Like you go out to go eat and then
yeah,
after you come
and
home,
then everyone was like, mom, I'm full, sorry. But no, it's good. So, well, sometimes it's even better than my mom's cooking, but
yeah.
Oh, just kidding, mom.
Yeah. is she gonna watch this?
Oh no. Yeah, in Montreal, there's a lot like in Vietnam, but in Montreal, we have some places too, not just Vietnamese, we have other cuisine as well for Ang Vac. So for just a disclosure for today's podcast, though we mention names of restaurants and brands because we like their delicious products, we don't have any sponsorship affiliation with them. Before we go into the conversation, I have a little surprise for you too.
Oh, I'm okay. Excited. Let's bring it in.
I don't think I've seen this before.
You haven't seen this one?
No.
Okay, I'm waiting for you. Okay. Yes, okay, you bring this in. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
For you.
Ah, I think I know what it is.
Oh my god.
Here for you.
Thank you.
Here for you.
Thank you.
You can mix this up.
I think, yeah, this is how you eat it. You mix it.
What exactly is in this again?
It's chair. You have sticky rice. And red beans?
I think this is black beans.
Black beans, okay.
Oh, I think in Vietnamese we call it ganip droi.
Yeah.
Not sure if that's the right name, but I think that's
okay.
What it's called. God, oh my god. I don't think I've had this recently.
Okay, have a taste of it.
Oh, this surely does bring back memories.
It tastes very like familiar. I feel like I've eaten this before, but I don't remember. If I have, I don't remember like seeing this.
Okay.
But maybe I've had it before, but it's really familiar.
You know, maybe it's the Vietnamese blood and you're saying, I know this.
I know that, like, I've eaten, like, because, like, when we go to, like, family reunions or whatever, like, my grandma or, like, my aunt, like, she would, like, make, like, some kind of, like, chè or dessert or whatever.
Yeah.
And, like it tastes kind of similar to this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think...
Is it the coconut, probably?
Exactly.
Yeah. I usually... When I remember when I ate this in Vietnam, I usually don't eat with the coconut milk because I thought coconut milk is milk.
Okay.
I only learned about they're not like recently. So yeah.
When was the last time you had this? You
I think it was probably like a year ago.
Because yeah, okay.
I had it once at a restaurant. But I just like I saw the name and I just
okay.
Oh yeah, I want to try that. And then they brought it out and said, like,
okay.
Oh my god, I didn't know.
Okay.
No, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
This kind of reminds me of because I when I go to like eat at a restaurant sometimes, like Vietnamese restaurants for dessert, I like to eat chè ba mau.
Yeah, chè ba mau.
Yeah.
It is in English called tricolor dessert.
Yeah, there's like I don't know, the green thing and the red thing.
Yeah, and then there's like the little yellow on the
yeah,
top.
Right?
Yeah, it have green beans, red beans,
and mung bean.
But it's not, is it green beans? It's like green, like, it's like a slimy
thing. I think it's
thing.
Jelly, right?
Jelly, yeah,
yeah
it's jelly.
Jelly.
Yeah, jelly.
Not slime.
Yeah, it's coconut jelly, though. Yeah.
This is
okay.
Good. Well, thanks for the food.
Okay, you want to try one of these? You know what it is?
Oh, cool.
Okay. You know what it is? Can you tell us more about this?
I think in Vietnam, we call this ban trang cuong. Which
okay.
is like rice paper and they roll it. So
okay.
it's kind of like spring roll.
Yeah.
But they make with this, I don't really know what this...
They have mango inside. The small shrimp, you know what it's called? Group?
I don't really know.
Yeah.
It's just a small shrimp.
Yeah, they have small shrimp and it's very tasty.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I thought I didn't know it was the rice paper. I thought it was like the shrimp shell. I thought it was wrapped into shrimp shell. I was like, oh.
Okay. Yeah. And they put some salt and mango.
I think there's like an egg. In,
yeah. Egg yolk.
It's chewier than I thought.
I think this roll paper is very chewy. I'm gonna have a second bite because why not?
For some reason, I thought the rice paper was gonna be crunchy. I don't know why.
It does look like it.
It looks crunchy, and then. It's just really...
Doesn't
chewy.
It look like fried food to you? I honestly, like, my
I
first
thought,
impression was, like, it's fried.
Okay.
Yeah, I thought it was, like, fried shrimp.
Fried shrimp. Okay.
Yeah. Is it like usually served this way? Like it's cut into pieces and then put sauce.
Like put on the plate would be fancy though. Like in Vietnam, you have in the bag and you have a chopstick and you put it in the bag and you use like that.
And it's not even a chopstick; it's a skewer, and we use two skewers at a chopstick.
Okay.
Yeah, this is one of my favorite
snack,
street snack from Vietnam.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Student snack, you know, people have poutine in Vietnam, we have banchan.
Yeah. It kind of like it tastes very like healthy. I don't know, it tastes healthy, but it's probably is it healthy?
Well, my mom said it's not healthy, but well,
my mom said this too. Maybe, maybe don't lie, I just don't lie, you spend money on it.
Yeah, but now I think about it, it might be healthy.
Okay. So now I have a quick trivia for you guys. So a classical one for our
Bún bò Huế
for me.
Bún bò Huế to me. I'm 14.
Oh, your fault.
Explain your choice. Why?
I used to be a Bún bò Huế team because it's tastier than pho. But pho, they have this smell that you remember that the beef smell, that one. And also, I can eat pho without being boring about it. You know?
I see.
I find Bún bò to be more like, it's like more like richer. I don't know. And it has like a very, like a, it's tastier and spicier.
Exactly.
I don't know. I just find it like, it's more appealing to me.
Okay.
Yeah. For me, it's because of the spice. I love lemongrass.
Yeah.
So I find Bún bò to be a little closer to home than pho. In my opinion.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I, as a kid, like growing up, I used to drink. I used to eat pho more. Like but it was only like maybe in my teenage years I started like I discovered like Bún bò and I can eat spicy now and then just started eating more.
Yeah.
And so like the subtlety of pho. You know, it's not really obvious, the taste is not too strong, but it's subtle, and when you find the subtleties, you got addicted to that. You know?
Yeah, I find pho to be really, it's like a harmony.
Right.
Like, everything is just harmoniously combined together, whereas Bún bò is really, it has an edge. That's my thinking of the difference between the two.
So we have a trickier one, bánh mì, or Subway.
Well, I would be a little offended if anyone said Subway. So yeah, bánh mì for me.
Okay.
For me, like I don't have an opinion. Okay. Just because I don't really eat any of both. Like,
okay.
I don't eat Subway. I don't eat.
If I have a Subway next to a bánh mì, which one you pick?
Probably bánh mì, but just because respect, you know.
No pressure.
Yeah, how about you?
Bánh mì for me.
Yeah.
A fun fact, I have converted a lot of Westerners who like Subway into eating bánh mì exclusively because they, bánh mì is so appealing. I don't understand. It's so good, crunchy.
Like, is it like served the same way as Subway? Or do you buy it already made? Because I also only recently started eating Subway, but not like a lot. But like, I didn't know about like how you choose your toppings or whatever. So I was really confused at first when I got to Subway. But is it the same thing when you buy like bánh mì? Is it like, do you choose your toppings too? I don't know.
You get to choose your topping.
Yeah. But it's not like Subway, but initially the clerk gonna do it for you. But if you have specific things that you want to add, or something you want to take out, you have to tell them. It's not like you pick, I want this. It's not like that.
Yeah.
Because they have something put in it that make is distinguishable, not only from Subway, but from one bánh mì shop to another.
Yeah, that's really true.
Yeah.
What's the, for people who don't know, like, also kind of me, but like, like what is like the big difference between bánh mì and Subway?
I would say it's the bread. The bread we use for bánh mì is like a small French baguette. Well, it's actually coming from the French.
Yeah.
The Subway is more like a big, like soft bread.
Sandwich.
Yeah, like a sandwich. There, exactly, like a sandwich. So I think the bread is the biggest difference. If you use a Subway bread, fill it with all the Vietnamese, like the traditional bánh mì
fillings. You can have a banh mi, but it's still a Subway because it's not the right bread.
Okay.
That's what I think about it.
And also, like, in banh mi, the pate is very important. The way they do the pate and the mayonnaise. Also, the meat, they done it very different from Subway, too.
That's true. Yeah. That's true.
And the vegetable inside is a bit sour.
They're pickled.
They're pickled. Yeah, yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah. Okay, another cheeky one. Did you drink coffee?
Yes. Only on bad days. only on good days.
Scratch that, only on
good days. You drink alcohol?
I don't drink coffee that much anymore, but I used to be a big coffee drinker.
Okay. So the question is, Vietnamese coffee or Starbucks?
I don't even drink Starbucks coffee. Like I remember people told me that Starbucks coffee is expensive. Is it true? Or is Vietnamese coffee expensive too? I don't know. But I drink like instant coffee. that's the extent to my coffee taste.
Okay.
For me, I apologize to fellow Vietnamese. I do prefer Starbucks coffee. Simply because I love latte. I just had an addiction to latte.
Oh, good.
So yeah. Sorry.
I know there's I haven't tried it, but there's like a variation of Vietnamese coffee where you put egg yolk.
Exactly.
I've never tried it, but I saw it. I was like, wow.
Yeah.
It's yeah.
Me and my friend, we tried that one. We make it by ourselves, and it was a failure anyway. it was a drink from the north with the egg yolk. It's a north drink most in the south. We mostly have with condensed milk.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I have some Canadian mix. I put the hazelnut cream.
Oh, that's also good. I've tried that before.
Good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You should try that.
You should try that.
If you like instant coffee fan, hazelnut Nestle. Oh, sorry, Nespresso.
Nespresso, probably.
Yeah. I think that's the brand. Yeah, that's also really good.
How do you guys handle your Vietnamese craving during the pandemic?
Before the pandemic, I stayed with my sister downtown in the condo. But because of the pandemic, I stayed with my parents. So now I have the luxury of eating my parents' food every day. So I don't have to cook. I just wait and I have the food in front of me. So, but it's really comforting. I find that to eat just my parents, my mom's food, my dad's food is really good.
Yeah. Well, for me is I mostly order in or I also cook some those that I can cook or doesn't take that long or that complicated to cook. I usually cook, but most of the time I just go order in. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Delivery services or just, go straight to the restaurant and take out. How about you?
Actually, I cook, but I'm not a good cook. I order online. There's some people, they make food. They just spontaneously make food and they ask if anyone wants some. Some of that. And some of them, you don't find in the restaurant. It's very specific. Yeah. Even this dessert, it's in a restaurant, but they don't. It's not a usual dish on the menu.
Yeah. That's true.
It's just like one or two times a week.
A special.
Yeah.
I'll have another bite since we talk about it.
So you said that your sister cook for you?
We collaborate.
Collaborate.
I'll say that. Well, actually, she's the one cooking the meat and stuff. I'm the one washing the vegetables.
Okay.
Cooking the rice. Well, not that the cooking the rice is any complicated. It's just the rice cooker.
So how do you rate the authentic level of the dish?
It's pretty good. I should criticize in front of
her. No judgment here.
No judgment.
She's probably going to watch this.
What do you cook? Titka?
Yeah, there's titka. There's titkianu.
Titkianu. Okay.
Sometimes my mom would bring us titka, just food that could be refrigerated and we just eat it.
Yeah. I miss the mom dishes.
I really do miss. I haven't had her food for like a while now, so.
They live in Vietnam, right?
They live in Vietnam, yeah.
Okay. Is it like the food you're ordering, like, okay, help you with those missing?
I'm not going to lie. Yeah, they do. They do help me a little bit with the homesick. And okay. Also, it kind of reminds me, you know, like, yeah, it reminds me of home. So they're good. They're comforting. They're good.
Okay. You said like you've been to Vietnam, right?
Yeah, I used to, before the pandemic, I used to go every 4 years. But I feel like all my memories are like mixed into like with each other. Like I don't have like a specific memory anymore. Like because okay. When I go, we usually go for like 2-3 weeks, and then after we leave. But like usually it's in December, like during Christmas break, and then yeah. We come back.
I guess it's also near like Tet holiday there as well.
Yeah. Really. Yeah. Like the village that I visit, we visit like my dad's family in the village. It's called Dom Nai.
Yeah. Is that how it's called? Yeah.
And I think they're mostly Christian. And like when we go there, like there's like all the little lights of like
that's beautiful.
It's like they decorate like the whole church and whatever. It's like really beautiful. And whenever we go there, like we visit, and it's
I know exactly what you're talking about. I actually live near a church as well.
Okay.
So yeah, I've definitely seen a fair share of that.
Okay. Do you remember like the your impression of the food in Vietnam? Yeah.
I remember like whenever we go there, I usually just eat bao or like bún bò or whatever. Right. I don't really like try new things. but it's very, for example, for pho, like we use hoisin sauce. I feel like the sauce we eat here is much sweeter than whatever's in Vietnam. Yeah, there's like a different taste to it, but it's still pretty good.
Yeah, we have some good pho restaurant in here, but the impression of the vegetable dish, they have so many vegetables in that it just cannot be compensated by what we have here.
Yeah, I do agree. For example, like if you eat pho in Vietnam, they serve it with Thai basil and bean sprout, and then a few other condiments as well. But here, if you go to restaurants, sometimes like if you're lucky, they're gonna give you basil. They're also just bean sprout.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Food is a little different here, but I would say the taste not too much because it's really? Still like I believe that there's still like Vietnamese people cooking Vietnamese food here, so the taste is still somewhat similar. Just the ingredients are a little bit different.
You know, like when you go to a restaurant, they give like a plate of vegetable before your meal.
Mm-hmm.
But over there, I remember they gave bread. Is it bread?
Oh,
but
like yao wei.
Yeah. That's right. Yao wei. Yeah.
I think that is really, really north. We don't do that in the south.
Yeah, exactly.
Part of my family is from the north and they came to the south. I think I have a lot of stuff that comes from the north.
Yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense.
You're from Vietnam. Is there any food in Vietnam that you're raving for, but you can see it here?
I would say if anyone were familiar with a dish from Hoi An, it's called Mi Wang.
Oh, man.
That is the only one dish that I haven't found a good restaurant that served it in Montreal.
Okay.
It's egg noodle, I believe. Correct. I mean, I'm not sure. I can't guarantee that information is correct, but it's yellow. It's made with a broth that has turmeric in it. So it's a little yellowish. It's served with chicken, shrimp, and a crispy rice cake. Yeah, that is the dish that I don't think I've found
here.
I don't think I've had it. But I think I probably have seen it, but I don't think I've had it.
Yeah, it's a little like, it's really regional, like I would say.
Right. For me, I was so raving for hu tiêu khô.
Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. Oh my God. You know,
they have some here, but I cannot find the taste. I cannot find the taste. It's just not the same. Yeah, even like in Vietnam, they have just a cart of pork by the street. It's very cheap and it's so good.
Yeah. Like a meal, like a bowl of pho there costs like $2 and here it costs like $10. When I just got here, I was so afraid of eating out.
Yeah, I remember it was called Hoduga.
Oh, Hoduga. Yeah.
Yes.
I don't know what that is.
Yeah. So it's a cart that serve hu tiêu. Hu tiêu, they serve in two types, with the soup or without soup. So my favorite is without soup. And when they start serving it, they knock the bell. Yeah. Min go. so people to come. Like that.
Oh my god, it reminds me of an ice cream truck. It's exactly like that. They go around your neighborhood and they just like ring the bell. And then when you hear the bell, it's like, Mom, can I have some of that? So yeah, I just like rush out and like, hey, call them back. And they'll give you a bowl.
Yeah.
It's exactly like ice cream truck. It's really fun.
I miss that so much. I mean, I heard of the place, for example, here
in Montreal.
Yeah, it's a Cambodian place.
Oh, is you mean like Hutu Nam Gang? Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
You know a place, say Hutu?
Yeah, I think I've heard about I don't believe it's called Phnom Penh.
I haven't tried, but I would try it. People say it's good.
I would say Cambodian food and Vietnamese and southern Vietnamese food is pretty similar in a way. We're neighbors next door, so.
So, like, aside from Phnom Penh for Hutu, is there any other places you think you want to recommend?
Well, yeah, there's like one restaurant that I've been to over my entire life. My parents, like my family, we usually go to, it's called Restaurant Lila. It's on Rue d'Antalon. Yeah, I went there from a very young age and I haven't been there since the pandemic. It's still only takeout, but it's really good. It's like comfort for me.
I see. I've never tried that restaurant before. Okay. Even though I live in the area. The one that I like the most is the one in Brossard called Pho MC.
Okay.
I usually go down there with my partner and we just eat like whatever. I mean, they have a lot of different type of noodle soups. So for me, it's just boba pho all the time. But for my partner, it's usually something else.
When you order like bún bò Huế, do you ever say like, oh, I want more spice? Or do you ever ask, oh, I would like to tweak the spice level?
I always ask them to like, can you give me a little bit less spicy? Because I cannot tolerate. Okay. Yeah, I cannot tolerate heat. Okay. I mean, I'm a little ashamed of that myself.
Yeah, I used to ask to tweak down the heat too. Yeah, but now I'm getting more used to it. I'm proud of myself.
It's not something that you can get used to really easily, I mean, I find.
If you try to burn your tongue more often, then your tongue will probably get used to it.
What is the specialty that you have over there?
For mine at Pho MC, is a thing called mì lá cai, which is exactly like the kind of mì you're talking about, like mì khô.
Okay.
It tastes like it. The texture, the dish, the presentation, I mean, it's different. But the concept is really similar.
Okay.
They serve it like without soup, okay. Bowl of soup on the side, and noodle is mixed with their special sauce, and there is a fried shrimp cake on top, and topping is exactly like the normal meat. Definitely give that a try. That's my personal favorite from that restaurant.
For me, at Hesong, you know, I only tried like three of their stuff. There's probably many stuff in their menu.
You've been there your whole life.
I've only tried three stuff. I always like stick to the same things because something new. I don't want to get disappointed. I don't know. Like,
No. I completely understand. Yeah.
So yeah, I only tried like Kum Sung Nu.
That's good.
And
yes.
Fallen
Okay. Oh.
But I always go there for Bún bò Huế. But that's I don't think that's their specialty. Their specialty is probably Pho or Kum Sung. I don't know.
Yeah, my favorite place because it's like Concordia, near Concordia. They have a place. I am Pho. They mostly specify in Pho and Bún bò Huế. Because I live there, I've been there, and in the Bún bò Huế, they have what's it called? Yao Heng, like the big.
Oh, the knuckle.
The knuckle. Yeah, yeah. And that's what we like about that. And under the I am Pho, you got the banh mi.
Banh mi.
Yeah, exactly. That one is
good as well.
That's just banh mi. I love stuff like sticky rice. Yeah.
And that shop is so small. I didn't even recognize it.
Yeah.
I mean, I call it like a hidden gem of the city. I won't tell people about it because I don't want them to overcrowd the place.
Okay.
Where is it? It's near Concordia, I think.
Oh.
Yeah, it's
San Mateo.
Oh, isn't it?
Yeah.
I thought it was on Gi for some reason, but I might. I think. Okay. Yeah. You're right. I think you're right. But okay. Check that out.
Okay.
And
okay.
Everyone who is listening to this.
Okay. Aside from Pho and Mohe, those are classical one. Do you know any place that are selling other than those classical dishes?
I know a restaurant in the village called Le Red Tiger. It's actually a pub. It's a restaurant, but they have a huge bar. they serve a lot of like angbak food, like that. They serve like you can find anything from the street food of Vietnam there. I find that place is really interesting because it's not a normal, typical Vietnamese restaurant. It looks really, really... if I were to step in there, I would have mistaken it as a Thai restaurant. But it's completely... It's Viet. It's authentic Viet. And their dishes are amazing. I had one. I had something called bap sao.
Wow.
And it's like, oh my God, I don't think I've had this since like high school.
Okay.
And then it was just like... Wow, throwback so bad. So yeah, that is like out of the box restaurant in Montreal about Viet food for me.
I miss this dish so much.
When you say they serve like unbuttoned, is it small dishes?
Yeah, like sampling size.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's really not that expensive. And they serve like portion small. So I usually go with friends and we just like order a bunch of them and then we just share.
That sounds fun.
Yeah, that was before COVID. So I'm not sure how they're operating now.
For me, like... I love Kem Co Ba. You know Kem Co Ba? Kem Co Ba is Vietnamese ice cream place. And they sell ice cream in Vietnamese fruit. For example, durian ice cream. What is man called in English?
Apple, sugar apple.
Yeah, they have sugar apple ice cream. And they have special fruit every week.
You know, I love panda. Panda. I don't know. I love pandan leaves so much. I think they made an ice cream out of that flavor as well.
Really?
Yeah.
Do they sell like regular ice cream?
They have.
They have the soft served, which is like vanilla. Yeah. But I don't think it's really popular.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. But you don't go there to try vanilla.
Probably not.
Yeah. Do you notice like, I think like most of the Vietnamese restaurants in North America, they mostly sell southern food. Do you know in other regions, just suggest in the north, in the mid, do you know any place?
No, I actually didn't even know much about like the distinctions, like food distinctions between north and south. Maybe explain.
In my opinion, and this is kind of like me and after reading and eating and trying a lot of food from different regions, but I think if you were to separate Vietnam into regions and call out their like specific type or distinctive features of their cuisines, I would say that we have like the north, the middle, and the south. And the south food is really deeply inspired by Thai, Cambodian, like the Indochina region. So their food is really, really sweet and sour based. Not too much sour though, but it's a little sweet. And in the middle part is really, it focuses on spice and really, really hot. I think that's the reason why Bún Bò Huế is so spicy. It's coming from the middle part. And the north is a little bit salty and savory in a way. In my opinion, the food there is a little like on the heavier side on salt and seasoning. The thing about food in Montreal, I don't think there is that much distinctions between different regions in the food scene here. Like, for example, if you go to a restaurant can serve like pho Bún Bò Huế, food from all three regions. And that's a norm. But I know that in Vancouver or in Toronto, they have restaurants that specify only in specific region of Vietnam. For example, they just serve food from the north, serve food from the middle part, serve food from the south.
I think maybe it's also because the population there is bigger.
Yeah.
Exactly. So for my targeting, like food from the south, stronger taste. Everything is like more intense. From the middle, as you say, spices. They like spicy food because the place is cold. It's mostly a lot of mountain. So they want something hot. From the north, I would say it's a bit subtle, not too strong. Even like, for example, the above pho in the south, you have a lot of vegetable, you have a side dip, but in the north, they don't dip any sauce. They don't have a lot of vegetable.
Yeah.
And they try very subtle, very, very authentic and basic as possible because...
Complexity, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
So they don't put the sauce in the broth?
No, they don't.
They don't
put poison sauce or sriracha.
Yeah, exactly.
That is why I find it's really interesting that when I go to a restaurant here, like people do that, like sriracha, poison sauce. They just don't think, they just put it in. But yeah, if you do that in the north, people would look at you and say, what are you doing?
Is the broth like any different? Like, and made any different, maybe?
No, I don't believe so. But you are right about that. Like food in the north, I think it's leaning towards like really simple.
Yeah.
But I think they use like salt there a lot more than the south.
Yeah.
I think. I think that tastes a little saltier, but really simple. But in the South, it's more like complicated, I would say. Like, sorry, complex, I would say.
But like they use herb, medical herb for the broth. It have different taste. I can distinguish between the North pho and the South pho because it's just the herb that they use. They don't want to put a lot of like dipping and sauce because they want to taste that, the smell of the herb.
Is it also because the herbs are only grow there? Or is it...
Possibly, yeah.
It's really close to China. So yeah. I guess somewhat is also influenced by the way they use herbs in there.
Yeah.
We don't do that in the South, I don't think.
In here, we have ahogum.
Yeah.
They serve some northern food like bumjia. You know bumjia? Bumjia is this like... you have the vermicelli, you have the meat, and that sock. Fish sauce, like... It's not the strong fish sauce, but a remixed fish sauce.
So it's diluted fish sauce. Yeah. Fish sauce with lime, sugar. And...
Yeah, this is the typical Hanoi dish.
It's served in soup?
No, it's not soup. But like the fish sauce, the diluted fish sauce, it's like soup.
You drink that. You can drink that after.
Yeah.
It's a little weird. They make it so that you can drink.
Yeah.
I usually dip. It's a dipping sauce.
So like, do you guys like notice that why Vietnamese restaurant in North America got to include pho in their title? Pho, hom, pho, yum, pho, whatever pho. You like notice
I've never
that?
Noticed
that. I didn't notice, yeah.
So in Vietnam, we have hundreds of dishes, but we don't say bún bò Huế and the name. We don't say that. We say pho, that. It was originated from the North during the migration in 54. The North bring the pho. If you know pho tàu bay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So pho tàu bay is the most popular pho in Hanoi back then, 100 years ago. And they brought it to the South during the migration. They brought it to the States, they brought it to Canada as well. And because the way pho migrated, they put the word pho in front of most of Vietnamese restaurants.
I did notice that. They use like pho and then the name.
Yeah.
Meaning the...
Yeah. That's an interesting fact when they found out. Do you guys know any fact about a Vietnamese restaurant?
I know that this is something that I noticed, but if you eat bún bò Huế, if you eat it in the middle part, it's not as good as when you eat it in the north.
Okay.
Even though it's originated from there. And I personally find pho in the north a little bit too bland for my taste. Okay. So I prefer pho from the south, even though pho was originated from the north. So yeah, that's a fun fact from my side.
Okay.
I find about food in Vietnam. But when people may have different opinion on that, but that was at least my family and I agree on that.
Yeah. Also, another, you know, the Vietnamese coffee, the popular Vietnamese coffee.
Mm-hmm.
The taste of the Vietnamese coffee that we know in North America is Trung Nguyen. You go everywhere. Like, I work in a couple restaurants and they all use Cafe Trung Nguyen. When you replace it with the Italian, the Cambodian coffee, it has different tastes. So I think personally, Trung Nguyen single-handedly make the name of the Vietnamese coffee.
I do agree, yeah.
Could you explain what that word is?
Okay, so Cafe Trung Nguyen. Trung Nguyen is a corporation in Vietnam specifying coffee.
Okay.
Yeah. Whenever you have a Vietnamese restaurant, it's Cafe Trung Nguyen. Yeah.
I think Trung Nguyen means like the land in the middle.
Yeah.
Like Nguyen, like Nguyen is like a higher part of the land. It's like mountain region.
Yeah.
I think. So Trung Nguyen means like the middle of the land. It's a pretty popular Vietnamese brand. I do agree on that point. They make Vietnamese coffee. They bring Vietnamese coffee to the world.
Yeah.
I do agree.
Yeah. When me Vietnamese coffee with first was just espresso with condensed milk.
Oh no, they're bad. Yeah. They're just bad.
It's not the same. It's not the same when you say Vietnamese coffee. I've tried it. Yeah.
I'm so sorry for fellow coffee drinker, but condensed milk do not go well with any other thing.
Yeah.
But Vietnamese coffee.
Yeah, something like that. So most of the Vietnamese business, Vietnamese restaurant in Montreal, this kind of pop and mom family business. But do you notice any kind of more franchise, corporate kind of chain?
Franchise. Oh, I do know. Okay. Actually, there's a place called Mi Mi. I think that's a franchise.
That's a franchise.
Because I've seen like four different shops in Montreal. So
Really?
And I don't think a family, I mean, strong enough to like have people working at four different location at the same time. I think that's a franchise.
Okay.
Mm. And I also like, I know that like during COVID, there's a lot of people bringing food to the web. As in like a lot of food influencers, they're selling food.
Okay.
So that's also something that is really interesting that popped up during COVID.
Yeah, I think it's a way, it's a good way to like still provide some kind of like, I feel like some businesses during the pandemic has had like a really like tough time. I feel like it's a way to still kind of share like the food that, like Vietnamese food or any kind of food, like on some way, like,
yeah, it's like, yeah. Yeah, because like Vietnamese culture, the food culture, people, the Vietnamese love food.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah.
We go a long way to get food.
A thing that very interesting I know about the Vietnamese business in Montreal is that they not only do Vietnamese food, but any other cuisine as well. For example, like when you go to a sushi shop in Montreal, it may belong to the Vietnamese. Even majority of sushi shop in Montreal belongs to the Vietnamese.
I did not know that.
Yeah, it is.
That's interesting.
And one of the interesting factor about, you know, it's happening in Vietnam. You have a street and they only sell one type of product. For example, that street only sell clothes. That street only sell glasses. And they bring it here to Montreal too. There's a street, on that street, so many sushi restaurants. Yeah,
and but wouldn't that be like a lot of competition then?
Yeah,
they like to do that.
They like to do that.
Yeah,
yeah. Step aside.
Super competitive.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and you know the Maché Oriental.
Yeah, you know that.
Yeah,
probably.
Zhongtalong. Okay. Next to that is Jiuo the Maché.
Yeah, Hung Fak and Maché. Veggie, there's like a vegan place nearby, and there's also a restaurant next to them. So like all the Vietnamese spots are like close together.
Yeah,
we love the competition.
Yeah, like concentrate business type in a location and also use family home to do business.
Yeah, we do business everywhere, however we can.
Yeah, like on Saint Denis, on that street, you will see lawyers, dentists.
Yeah.
And it's all family home, you know, they just use their house to do dental.
It's really, really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know that like a lot of Vietnamese people are like have own like dental like places. Like they do. Yeah.
I find that really smart because, you know, like why do we have to rent an office when we can use our house, right?
Exactly.
I used to go to like this hair salon or whatever. And her hair salon was like in her house. Like, it was at her house.
I'm not surprised.
Yeah, I think like, a lot of stuff are like.
I believe it's that pretty, is a, it's a pretty.
It's convenient for them.
Yeah, and it saves money as well. Yeah. Say whatever you want is, I mean, they save money on renting. So good for them.
So like from all the food that we discussed, like, why do you think people should know more about the Vietnamese community in Montreal and in general, not just only the Vietnamese, but also people from other ethnic backgrounds?
I believe that this is something that I strongly believe in. The more you learn about different cultures, the better that makes you, that the better it is. That's right. It makes you a better human being because we are living in a city that is so multicultural. If we don't reach out and learn more about people, it's a little bit, we would miss out on a lot of things.
Yeah, I totally agree. I feel like Montreal is like, we're like really diverse with a lot of like different people who come from different countries and like places and like all those like businesses and whatever. Like, I feel like it's nice. It's good to support like each other and each.
And also like with an ongoing, like a little bit sad crisis of, you know, like, discriminations and hate towards people of color or people with coming from different backgrounds. I do believe that learning more about our culture, like their culture, also will help people to understand more about us, about everyone else, so that we can, you know, be nicer to people. That's why I think it's really important.
And like, what's better than learn about a culture than a delicious dish, right?
Yeah, I agree. Too.
Yeah,
I agree.
Yeah, so like, the road to love is the road to the belly. So that's our conversation for today. Oh. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me here.
Thank you for having me here as well.
Thank you, of course. Okay.
Delicious food, okay. Good talk.
free.
Yeah.
If you have more, if you like.
Thank you. I would definitely take it.
Yeah.